For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kevin, and I'm the Student Ministries Director here at the North Campus. Today, as you've already heard many times, is a special day. We call this family worship. CBC believes that families should worship together. So we offer family worship about 6 times a year, not on the first of every month like we used to. And I want to hear from, again, the kids and the teens in the room. Can you show us that you're here by, on the count of three, yelling, yes, you're allowed to yell in church, Happy New Year. Yes, we've passed Christmas, so we're in the New Year's category. So on three, I want you all, kids and teens, to shout out Happy New Year. One, two, three. Happy New Year. Thank you. There's a really loud crowd right here. That's good. Thank you. So again, thank you for being here. I'm very excited you're with us. So as the new year is almost here, I've been thinking about New Year's resolutions, right? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution? Don't be embarrassed. I have too, right? That's a good chunk of us. And how many of you have ever broken or not kept your New Year's resolution? Hopefully, again, probably about the same amount of us. Me too. I've stopped making New Year's resolutions because I always eventually break them. It makes me feel disappointed in myself. Maybe like when I was back in junior high and I was the last kid to get picked on the baseball or basketball team. Maybe some of you can relate to that. It makes me feel like I'm not good enough. I don't need to feel like that. My guess is that most of us have felt like we've come in last place, or at least not in first place, at one time or another in our lives. Maybe we've felt like we've been treated unfairly. Maybe we didn't get that promotion. Or maybe we didn't make the cut for that baseball or soccer team. Maybe we didn't win that competition or earn that degree. Maybe someone treated us unfairly. Someone else got more or better than we did. In one way or another, we can all relate to being in last place or to not being in first place. But aren't we glad that it's a new year with new beginnings? We have another chance to make it to first place again. And as we begin this new year, I believe that Jesus has a parable for us. His parable that we're going to talk about today reminds us of who we are. It brings hope to us in our times of difficulty, of need, or disappointment. And this parable challenges us to rethink our success. Jesus' parable, I hope, will give us fresh perspective on following him in this new year. So join me in prayer, and then we'll dig into our text for this morning. Father, we are here because of you. Thank you for giving us life today, and for sending your son, Jesus, to save us from sin and to teach us the best way to live. Holy Spirit, be here with us this morning. Encourage us, convict us, and draw us close to the Father. Lord, we need to hear from you. Speak to us through your word for your glory and our good. And all God's people said, Amen. So our passage this morning is Matthew 20. Let me read the first part for you. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them to work in his vineyard. So let's set some background for this parable. Jesus starts by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, what is this kingdom of heaven? First of all, this kingdom of heaven is not just heaven, the clouds, and where we'll go someday to be with him. That's not entirely it. The kingdom of heaven, which is also known as the kingdom of God, is where God is reigning as king. But of course we know God reigns as king everywhere in the universe. Yet God's rule and reign hasn't come fully. Not yet. We still see injustice and pain. There's still sin and death. But his kingdom of heaven will come fully when Christ returns. Then Jesus will reign as the ultimate king. Justice will be served. Peace and joy will abound. And sin and death will be no more. So this parable shows us another aspect of what this kingdom of heaven is like. And that's why Jesus is sharing it with us. So the kingdom, he says, looks like a landowner who goes out early to hire workers for his vineyard. I want to make this tangible. And so I've got a few volunteers. I'm not sure. I don't see. Oh, here she is. Catherine volunteered to help me earlier today. So I'm going to have Catherine, one of our high school students, come up and join us. And just like the landowner went out early, I went out early to hire Catherine. All right? This is how this is going to work. So like I said, her name is Catherine. I don't know. Hello? What grade are you in, Catherine?
I'm a freshman.
She's a freshman. What school?
Sauk City High.
Awesome. Thank you. So are you willing to work for me this morning? Yes? Yes? So I was thinking of throwing a New Year's Eve party. That sounds like fun, right? And what's more fun than celebrating New Year's Eve with a giant thing of balloons that falls from the sky right at midnight, right? That sounds like a lot of fun. So would you be willing to help me inflate? I've got a bag of 75 balloons here this morning. Can you do that? Can you tie balloons? I'm not very good at tying. Okay. So what I'm going to have you do, you're welcome to take one of these stools and sit here and inflate these balloons as you can. Don't wear yourself out. You got to sing in a minute. So, and then when you're done with each one, just put them in this bag so that we can see how many you get. Okay? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
I'm going to pay you $5 for this, okay? Only five, she says. $5 for 20 minutes is a pretty good deal. It's a lot better than minimum wage, right? And I mean, $5 is a lot better than free, right? Okay. Everybody got this? We got what's going on? So let's look back at Jesus' parable. The landowner goes out to hire people to work in his vineyard for the day, just like I hired Catherine. Wonderful. We got that part. In Jesus' parable, the owner and the workers agree on a fair wage. In that day and age, a fair wage for a day's labor was a denarius. And a denarius would be about worth minimum wage for work today. It would probably buy enough food for a small family, maybe some other necessities, but not much more. Making a denarius a day, though, is a whole lot better than making nothing. And like I said, for Catherine, $5 for 20 minutes is a pretty good deal. And yes, I actually do have the cash right here. So the workers in the parable, just like our volunteer Catherine, agreed to this fair wage, and they started back then a 12-hour shift from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So let's keep reading in our text. Verses 3 and following, Jesus says, "About 9 in the morning, he, the owner, went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. And he told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went." All right. So I really see here, and I hope you will too, that Jesus is cluing us into some very important details, though it seems repetitive. These workers, both groups, the early hires and the second round of hires, they started their day standing in the marketplace, and they were doing nothing. These workers were unemployed. They had no hope to provide for their family for the day unless someone came and found them and hired them. Maybe they were unemployed because they didn't have the right paperwork. Maybe they were unemployed because they didn't have the right skills. Maybe they didn't have the right connections. They weren't on LinkedIn. But for whatever reason, they were out of work waiting for someone to come and hire them. This still happens today. Maybe you've seen this. I know my parents have hired folks like this. In the spring and the fall, my parents always had a lot of yard work at our house in Santa Cruz. And there was always pruning and pulling dead bushes and planting new ones and spreading mulch and staining the fence. Lots and lots of yard work. And after my brother and sister and I moved away to college, my parents couldn't do it all alone. So they would plan a weekend and figure, okay, this is all the work that we're going to get done. And on that day, my dad would drive down to the hardware store. And in this parking lot, nearly every day, you can always find unemployed men waiting for someone to hire them. Some of them are young and others are old. Some of them may be skilled, others not as skilled. Some of them may be hard to communicate with, but all of them are waiting for work. They're hoping that someone will come along and hire them for the day to work in the vineyard. Like I said, my parents would plan their yard projects and figure out how many people they would need and pick the right guys for the right job. My dad is really good at that. He does it for a living, kind of. So the landowner in our story would be doing the same thing. He would go out to the marketplace, hire people, and apparently he goes back a second time because maybe he needed a little bit extra help, or maybe he needed a little different skill set, or maybe he had a really urgent project and he just didn't realize how many people it would take to do the job. But he agrees to pay them what's right and hires them for part of a day's work. And so they get to work. So, again, I want to make this tangible and real for us. Let's see here. Catherine, how are you doing? You get that thing full? Do I need another bag? I've got another one. This one might be a little bigger. We'll see. We'll see. So, I don't know that I'm going to get 150 balloons filled up here. So I think I need to hire a second worker. Does that sound good? Okay. So earlier I had another volunteer say, "Hey, that sounds like fun. Can I make some money too?" So Brett Butterfield's going to come up here and join us as our second worker. All right. So, are you really ready to work? Huh? You don't know how to tie balloons. Well, we're gonna have you try anyway. Is that okay? No, that's not okay. Well, here, let me grab this stool. I still get my money, he says. All right. Come and have a seat and try your best to help Catherine blow up these balloons. And if that bag gets full, I do have one more bag to fill in the back there. All right. And I'm going to pay you what's right. All right, Brett? I'm going to pay you what's right for your few minutes. You're not working as long as Catherine, so. All right. So, I've got two groups, just like in the parable. Let's move on to the next part of our passage. The owner went out again, it says, about noon and about 3 p.m, and did the same thing. Wait a minute. He's already gone out once to hire a first group of workers. He's gone out again a few hours later to hire the second group of workers. He went out two more times. Why? There's two ways of understanding why he might have gone out. The landowner is either a really bad manager because he doesn't know how many workers he needs to hire, or he doesn't know like what really is needed in his vineyard. He doesn't know how big this project is, and so he's kind of not really doing a good job. Or the landowner is hiring these men for a different reason than just needing their help. In my opinion, I think the landowner has plenty of help. I believe the landowner is hiring people for a much different reason. And that will become clear in a few minutes. So with these four groups of laborers working in the vineyard, the workday is quickly coming to an end. There's not much sunlight left. 6 p.m. is coming soon. The first workers have been hard at work for 9 hours or 10 minutes. And the second, the third, and fourth workers have been working for, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes or 6 hours, depending on how you look at it. Can you believe you've already worked 9 hours, Catherine? That's pretty good. You've done a lot of balloons there. I'm impressed. I might have to go get a fourth bag for the next service. So there's plenty of help in the vineyard. Let's see what happens next. Matthew 20, 6 and 7. About 5 p.m, the owner went out again and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." The owner goes out one final time. With only an hour left in the day, this doesn't make sense. Unless he really has a big and urgent project, or he has some other motive to hiring these people. But the parable doesn't give us any sense of urgency or a reason for these late hires. So the work is probably not urgent or immediate. So why is the owner doing this? Why hire someone for just an hour or less? And why walk all the way from your vineyard into town to hire these people when you've only got just a few minutes left of work? Awesome. Keep going. The only answer that Jesus gives in this parable is that the owner hires these men because no one else hired them. No one else hired them. So if companies hired with this logic, this would be absurd. But it'd be great. There'd be no unemployment. That'd be wonderful, right? But there'd be all sorts of other trouble. Any company that hired this way would likely go bankrupt and fast. And how would you keep all those people occupied and productive? So it's likely that the owner doesn't really need these workers. He has plenty. Instead, he walked to town to make sure that all the I knew that would probably happen. He walked to town to make sure that all the unemployed workers had been hired for the day. He probably had gone back this last time hoping to find everyone already hired. He hoped none would be left waiting to be hired. But to his surprise, he still found people unemployed waiting for work. And so for some reason, he chooses to hire them for this measly 20, 30 minutes until 5 o'clock. So let's bring this parable to life one more time. I need one last volunteer, and someone came up earlier, and I had to pick one of the halls. I'm sorry, Annalise. You told me that you can't tie the balloons, and Levi has a pretty good shot. So Levi is going to be our last worker here. So they've been up here for a long time, right? So I told her I'd pay her $5. I told him I'd probably pay, well, we'll see what's right. And so, I mean, what do you think? You're only going to be up here for like 3 minutes. How many balloons are you going to finish? You don't know. We'll see. Maybe one, two. And so, well, do you trust that I'll pay you what's right? Okay. Grab a few balloons and we'll get this to work here. So I'll pay him fairly. I'll pay all of them fairly, I promise. So the owner in Jesus' parable has done this wonderful thing. He's created some jobs, he's hired the unemployed, and he's agreed to pay them fairly. Let's see what happens as the day comes to a close. Matthew 28. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Okay, so in the parable, the day is done. So here, the day is done. You guys are done. Thank you. So would you line up for me with the last one here? I'll face this way. The last one closest to me, the Levi, you're here next to me because you were hired last. And then Brett and then Catherine. Sound good? All right. So this is what the owner did. And he pays them in the reverse order. So I'm going to do the same thing. Levi, how many balloons did you fill for me?
One.
Yes. So I'm going to pay you what's fair, okay? I mean, Catherine's been up here for almost 15 minutes, and Brett for like 10, and you've been up here for like 2 minutes. So I told her I'd pay her $5, and I should probably pay him, what, $3? And pay you like $1? $1's still better than nothing, right? 10 cents. You're cheap. So, I'm generous, and it was just Christmas, and I feel like you deserve $5.
Thank you.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you for coming up here. So Brett, she worked the whole time. You worked part of the time. But I gave him $5. So how much should I pay you?
10?
Well, I don't know. You're going to break my bank. I'm not sure. But I am going to be generous to you. And you worked longer and harder, so I'm going to pay you $5 as well. Does that sound okay?
Oh, well.
He says, did you want more? Were you hoping for more? It's fine. Am I being fair? Well, we'll see. Okay. Catherine. Make sure. Yep. You've been up here for a long time. You've made a mess. In a good way. I'm so excited about it. So, do you feel like you earned more than $5 worth?
Yeah?
Yeah? How much should I pay you?
15.
Well, I do have $15. Well, I have 20. Better should not have told you that. So, but how much did you agree to work for me for?
$5,
right? Mm-hmm. And $5 is a whole lot better than nothing, right?
I guess.
But if I give you $5, you'll feel cheated probably, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She looks at me. This is hard with this girl. I'm sorry, but, well, I'm not sorry. I'm excited. You've made $5 this morning, okay? Thank you for your help. Let's give them a hand. So our volunteers reacted almost the same way that the workers in Jesus' parable. Let's take a look with how the parable kind of comes to a close. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. So the work is done, the laborers have been paid, but he pays them in this backwards order, the last guys first. And to everyone's amazement, the owner generously pays a full wage to the guy who just blew up one balloon. And if you and I were in line, and we had been working and waiting and kind of thinking, well, we've been here longer than that guy. I'll probably get more than him. This guy is generous. I worked harder. I earned more. He'll probably pay me more. That's what I would think. And as the owner walks down the line, he continues to pay the laborers the same daily wage, no matter how long or how hard they worked. Those who had worked longer obviously became frustrated. They felt that they deserved more pay and that the workers who had only worked for an hour should have gotten at least less. And they decided to take their issue up with the owner by saying something about it. If I were in their shoes, if you were in their shoes, we would probably do the same. We would feel as if we deserved more, as if we had been treated unfairly. But the owner has something really interesting to tell us. He wants to show the workers that they've missed something really important. So here's how he responds to their complaint in verses 13 through 15. The owner answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I am generous? The workers, as we all saw, agreed to work all day for a denarius. And the owner shines light on their motives. They're not just seeking fairness. They're really envious and jealous that the others received a better deal for their work. The workers are masking their jealousy by justifying the fairness of the situation. And this is just like so many people today. We think that we are doing what's fair for us and for others. We think that we are entitled to our fair share. We think that we can ask for more and get away with doing less sometimes. After all, we worked hard. After all, others may not be as skilled as us. After all, didn't we earn or deserve this? But what is truly fair in this situation? Do these workers deserve more than the others? Are we really entitled to what we have? Here's how Jesus finishes the parable in this one last verse. He says, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The last will be first, and the first will be last. Obviously, in the parable, the last workers were paid first, and the first were paid last. So, thanks, Jesus, that's so simple. But that doesn't teach us much, except just to retell the parable. So, what lesson is Jesus really driving at? What does this parable show us about the kingdom of heaven? Jesus is teaching his followers about what's important in God's eyes. Jesus wants us to recognize our place in this story. He's showing us that our earthly ideas of fairness and value may need some adjusting. And he wants us to come away more in line with God's values and live them out. So, boiling this all down, there's these three points that kind of come out, and I'll encapsulate them into one picture for you in just a minute. But like the owner of this parable, God as well is lavish and generous with his grace and mercy. And like the workers, we, in some sense, are all unemployed and cannot make it on our own because of the sin that we are born with. We can't do it. We can't survive unless someone comes and helps us. And Jesus' challenge to us is to recognize this grace that we've received. This amazing, unforgettable, and lavish grace, and to have hearts of gratitude, to not be like the grumbling workers. So in this parable, Jesus is helping us to see that we should not be the first to take God's generosity for granted. Let's not be the first to take God's generosity for granted. Instead, today, maybe this new year, let's live in last place. Let's live in light of God's generosity. Let's put him first because he won't leave us in last place. So practically, what does this look like to live in last place, as I'm calling it? How can we live in last place like the workers in Jesus' parable? This morning, you may find yourself in one of these three categories that I'm going to describe. I hope you do. Maybe you're here and you have no idea what Jesus is about, who he is. And this idea of God's generosity and lavish grace is foreign. It doesn't make sense. Maybe you're here instead and you're going through a really difficult time in life. You feel like you've lived in last place over and over and over. For whatever reason, life seems hard, and it only is getting worse. Or maybe you're in this third category, and you're here, and you've put your trust in Christ as your Savior, and life is going well, and you know his grace and his mercy, and you're maturing in your faith. day by day. Well, I have a few things to speak to each of those groups of people. If you're here this morning and you have not trusted in Jesus with your life, then hear this message from Jesus' parable. Take this idea home. God is so generous and good. He wants what's best for you and for everyone. Just like the owner in this parable, God is constantly seeking you out. He is constantly returning to the marketplace in your life, looking for you, trying to bring you into his amazing vineyard where you'll have purpose, where you'll have a paycheck so that you can survive. He wants to find you and bring you in. He loves you. And he sent his son Jesus to be fully human so that he can relate to you and you can relate to him. So he even chose suffering on a cross and to suffer that punishment in your place for your sin and my sin because he loves you so much. God is a good and generous God. Will you choose to put him first, to trust and follow him this new year? If you're here this morning and you feel like you're often in last place, God has a message of hope in this parable for you. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe there's medical issues in your family, bills that aren't being paid, pain or disappointment that you're in. But I do know this. God understands your suffering and my suffering. And he will bring us from last place to first place in his time. Jesus himself suffered in last place. His own people rejected him, and on top of that, they crucified him. He can relate with your pain and your suffering, your longing, your heartache. And like the owner, God will come and he will find you in that painful place. He will find you in that helpless state, and he will take you from your despair and bring you into his joy in his time. So wait for God and trust that he is generous and good. He won't leave you in last place. If you don't know how great and good God really is, again, I would also encourage you to take part in our Essential 100 Challenge. Because as we get into this book that we believe so much about, this Word of God, he will show us that he is good. He will remind us of all the blessings that he's given us. And really, we'll be able to have that sit in our minds and our hearts and be able to trust more and more in his great generosity and grace. So I've spoke to those of you who may not know Jesus. I've spoke to those of you who may feel like you're in last place. If you're here this morning and life is great and you've put your trust in Christ and you experience his grace and mercy all of the time, then Jesus' parable has one last thing to remind us all of. Jesus warns us about seeking first place. He reminds us that we don't deserve it. Remember that our every breath is a gift from God. We are still like the unemployed people in this parable. And God is the one who came and brought us into his kingdom. So let's not be jealous of other people for what they have. Let's not feel entitled to something better than our neighbors. Let's instead recognize all that he has blessed us with and live with grateful and generous hearts. And in that process, maybe he's calling us to, like the owner, share that generosity with others. So let's show others the same generosity that God has shown us. So this new year, let's learn to live in last place, not first. Let's trust that God is good and generous beyond measure, that he understands our situation and really wants what's best for us. Live in light of God's generosity. Put him first. because he will not leave you in last place. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you so much for this parable, which speaks so much about your heart for us and for this world, God. Your kingdom is not a kingdom of fairness. If it were, we would all be outsiders. We would all be dead because of our sin. God, but your kingdom is a kingdom of generosity and grace. Remind us of these amazing things that you've given us, Lord. This breath of life and all of these blessings. Help us to know that you are good. And help us to trust in you, that you will never leave us and that you always have our best in mind. Help us to live with generous hearts, to put you in first, and to live second to you. God, be with us the rest of this morning. May we live out your truth this year. In Jesus' name, amen.